This is the reading for February 17th, Psalm 48. The Lord is great. He should be praised in the city of our God on His holy mountain. It is high and beautiful and brings joy to the whole world. Mount Zion is like the high mountains of the north. It is the city of the great King. God is within its palaces. He is known as its defender. Kings joined together and came to attack the city, but when they saw it, they were amazed. They ran away in fear. Fear took hold of them. They hurt like a woman having a baby. You destroyed the large trading ships with an east wind. First we heard, and now we have seen, that God will always keep His city safe. It is the city of the Lord All-Powerful, the city of our God. God, we come into Your temple to think about Your love. God, Your name is known everywhere. All over the earth, people praise You. Your right hand is full of goodness. Mount Zion is happy, and all the towns of Judah rejoice because Your decisions are fair. Walk around Jerusalem and count its towers. Notice how strong they are. Look at the palaces. Then you can tell your children about them. This God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us from now on. Leviticus chapter 5. If a person is ordered to tell in court what he has seen or what he knows, and he does not tell the court, he is guilty of sin. Or someone might touch something unclean, such as the dead body of an unclean wild animal, or an unclean farm animal, or an unclean crawling animal. Even if he does not know that he touched it, he will still be unclean and guilty of sin. Someone might touch human uncleanness, anything that makes someone unclean, and not know it. But when he learns about it, he will be guilty. Or someone might make a promise before the Lord without thinking. It might be a promise to do something bad or something good. It might be about anything. Even if he forgets about it, when he remembers, he will be guilty. When anyone is guilty of any of these things, he must tell how he sinned. He must bring an offering to the Lord as a penalty for sin. It must be a female lamb or goat from the flock. The priest will perform the acts to remove that person's sin, so he will belong to the Lord. But if the person cannot afford a lamb, he must bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as the penalty for his sin. One bird must be for a sin offering, and the other must be for a whole burnt offering. He must bring them to the priest, who will first offer the one for the sin offering. He will pull the bird's head from its neck, but he will not pull it completely off. He must sprinkle the blood from the sin offering on the side of the altar, and then he must pour the rest of the blood at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. Then the priest must offer the second bird as a whole burnt offering, as the law says. In this way, the priest will remove the person's sin, so he will belong to the Lord, and the Lord will forgive him. If the person cannot afford two doves or two pigeons, he must bring about 2 quarts of fine flour as an offering for sin. He must not put oil or incense on the flour, because it is a sin offering. He must bring the flour to the priest. The priest will take a handful of the flour as a memorial offering and burn it on the altar on top of the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering. In this way, the priest will remove the person's sins, so he will belong to the Lord, and the Lord will forgive him. What is left of the sin offering belongs to the priest, like the grain offering. The Lord said to Moses, "If a person accidentally sins and does something against the holy things of the Lord, he must bring from the flock a male sheep that has nothing wrong with it. This will be his penalty offering to the Lord. Its value in silver must be correct, as set by the holy place measure. It is a penalty offering. That person must pay for the sin he did against the holy thing, adding 1/5 to its value. Then he must give it all to the priest. In this way, the priest will remove the person's sin, so he will belong to the Lord, by using the male sheep as the penalty offering. And the Lord will forgive the person. If a person sins and does something the Lord has commanded not to be done, even if he does not know it, he is still guilty. He is responsible for his sin. He must bring the priest a male sheep from the flock, one that has nothing wrong with it and that is worth the correct amount. It will be a penalty offering. Though the person sinned without knowing it, with this offering the priest will remove the sin so the person will belong to the Lord, and the Lord will forgive him. The person is guilty of doing wrong, so he must give the penalty offering to the Lord. Exodus chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, a person might sin against the Lord by doing one of these sins. He might lie about what happened to something he was taking care of for someone else, or he might lie about a promise he made. He might steal something or cheat someone. He might find something that had been lost and then lie about it. He might make a promise before the Lord about something and not mean it, or he might do some other sin. If he does any of these things, he is guilty of sin. He must bring back whatever he stole or whatever he took by cheating. He must bring back the thing he took care of for someone else. He must bring back what he found and lied about, or what he made a false promise about. He must pay the full price plus an extra 1/5 of the value of what he took. He must give the money to the true owner on the day he brings his penalty offering. He must bring his penalty to the priest, a male sheep from the flock, one that does not have anything wrong with it and that is worth the correct amount. It will be a penalty offering to the Lord. Then the priest will perform the acts to remove that person's sin, so he will belong to the Lord, and the Lord will forgive him for the sins that made him guilty. The Lord said to Moses, give this command to Aaron and the priests. These are the teachings about the whole burnt offering. The burnt offering must stay on the altar all night until morning, and the altar's fire must be kept burning. The priest must put on his linen robe and linen underclothes next to his body. Then he will remove the ashes from the burnt offering on the altar and put them beside the altar. Then he must take off those clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a special clean place. But the fire must be kept burning on the altar. It must not be allowed to go out. The priest must put more firewood on the altar every morning. Place the whole burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings. The fire must be kept burning on the altar all the time. It must not go out. These are the teachings about the grain offerings. The priest must bring it to the Lord in front of the altar. The priest must take a handful of fine flour with the oil and all of the incense on it and burn the grain offering on the altar as a memorial offering to the Lord. Its smell is pleasing to him. Aaron and the priests may eat what is left, but it must be eaten without yeast in a holy place. They must eat it in the courtyard of the meeting tent. It must not be cooked with yeast. I have given it as their share of the offerings made to me by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the penalty offering. Any male descendant of Aaron may eat it as his share of the offerings made to the Lord by fire, and this will continue from now on. Whatever touches these offerings shall become holy. The Lord said to Moses, this is the offering Aaron and the priest must bring to the Lord on the day they appoint Aaron as high priest. They must bring 2 quarts of fine flour for a continual grain offering, half of it in the morning and half in the evening. The fine flour must be mixed with oil and cooked on a griddle. Bring it when it is well mixed. Present the grain offering that is broken into pieces, and it will be a smell that is pleasing to the Lord. One of the priests appointed to take Aaron's place as high priest must make the grain offering. It is a rule forever that the grain offering must be completely burned to the Lord. Every grain offering made by a priest must be completely burned. It must not be eaten. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and the priests, these are the teachings about the sin offering. The sin offering must be killed in front of the Lord in the same place the whole burnt offering is killed. It is most holy. The priest who offers the sin offering must eat it in a holy place in the courtyard of the meeting tent. Whatever touches the meat of the sin offering must be holy, and if the blood is sprinkled on any clothes, you must wash them in a holy place. The clay pot the meat is cooked in must be broken, or if a bronze pot is used, it must be scrubbed and rinsed with water. Any male in a priest's family may eat the offering, it is most holy. But if the blood of the sin offering is taken into the meeting tent and used to remove sin in the holy place, that sin offering must be burned with fire. It must not be eaten.
The Book of Mark.
My name is Mark. I was a friend of Peter and accompanied him on his preaching tours. I also accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey. The Christians in Rome requested that I write down the facts of Jesus' life. I write about many of Jesus' miracles and that Jesus is the Son of God. My purpose is to prepare Christians to suffer and die for the gospel and to encourage them to face the everyday challenges of life.
Chapter 1.
This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way for you." A voice cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer was in the desert telling people about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John was dressed in clothes made from camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "The one who comes after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to bend down and untie his sandal straps. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw heaven split open and the Spirit coming down to him as a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am pleased with you." At once the Spirit brought him into the desert, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was there with the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and told people the good news of God. He said, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God is near. Change the way you think and act, and believe the good news." As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me. I will teach you how to catch people instead of fish." They immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went on a little farther, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat preparing their nets to go fishing. He immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the hired men in the boat and followed Jesus. Then they went to Capernaum. On the next day of worship, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings. Unlike their scribes, he taught them with authority. At that time, there was a man in the synagogue who was controlled by an evil spirit. He shouted, "What do you want with us, Jesus from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Keep quiet and come out of him." The evil spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out of him with a loud shriek. Everyone was stunned. They said to each other, "What is this? This is a new teaching that has authority behind it. He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." The news about him spread quickly throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. After they left the synagogue, they went directly to the house of Simon and Andrew. James and John went with them. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. The first thing they did was to tell Jesus about her. Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her get up. The fever went away, and she prepared a meal for them. In the evening, when the sun had set, people brought to him everyone who was sick and those possessed by demons. The whole city had gathered at his door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and forced many demons out of people. However, he would not allow the demons to speak. After all, they knew who he was. In the morning, long before sunrise, Jesus went to a place where he could be alone to pray. Simon and his friends searched for him. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the small towns that are nearby. I have to spread the good news in them also. This is why I have come." So he went to spread the good news in the synagogues all over Galilee, and he forced demons out of people. Then a man with a serious skin disease came to him. The man fell to his knees and begged Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus felt sorry for him, reached out, touched him, and said, "I'm willing, so be clean." Immediately his skin disease went away and he was clean. Jesus sent him away at once and warned him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, show yourself to the priest. Then offer the sacrifices which Moses commanded as proof to people that you are clean." When the man left, he began to talk freely. He spread his story so widely that Jesus could no longer enter any city openly. Instead, he stayed in places where he could be alone. But people still kept coming to him from everywhere.